Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
State Treasurer David McRae has put hundreds of millions back into the hands of Mississippi citizens, expanding the state's affordable college and career savings program and also returning record amounts of unclaimed money. Check out how Treasurer David McRae's office can help you, your business, or your organization. Treasury.ms.gov.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Monday night, a special edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Always glad that you are with me. So it will be a bit of a shorter one tonight since we are a little out of schedule. But I do want to talk about that interesting press conference today and play some video cuts of it for you and give some thoughts on it. And yeah, that's what we'll do tonight. Again, a bit of a shorter one. There are some comments. I want to read those as well. So we'll do all that and more on this edition of the show. Also, no live tomorrow. Like I told you, I will be in Oxford for the radio show, won't get back in time. And so we will go live Wednesday night. So that's what we'll do. We'll go live tonight. We'll go live Wednesday night for game-only conversation unless something happens, something tangible happens between now and then. That's my promise to you. Unless, like, something leaks or breaks between now and Wednesday night at 9, we will spend Wednesday talking about the football game, okay? That is my promise to you. And then we'll go live after the game and then back on Sunday for your regularly scheduled programming. So that's the plan. Appreciate you guys. I say appreciate. Appreciate you guys as always. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Search Rebel Report. Leave a rating and a review. Subscribe. Leave a comment. All that stuff right here on YouTube as well. And check out Toyota of Brookhaven. They're bringing you the podcast tonight. They're located on Exit 40 in Brookhaven. And they will take care of you. They'll give you $1,000 off as well on me if you just tell them that I sent you. Any in-stock new Toyota, $1,000 off on me. Again, if you just tell them that I sent you, check out their online inventory at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. And they have one of the highest rated service departments in the state, outstanding in-house financing, and more. Check them out, toyotaofbrookhaven.com, exit 40 in Brookhaven. All right, so here's, I've got 4, 5, 6 cuts from the press conference today. And before I start playing them, in fairness, in his opening statement, Lane Kiffin did say, I'm only going to answer questions about the game. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm only going to talk about the game and the players. However, I do think that he was given a line of questions that he should have gotten. And kudos to those in the room, especially Ben Garrett. There was others as well. Michael Katz asked a question as well related to the stuff that everybody wanted to hear from in this press conference today. But specifically to Ben for continuing to ask, because this is just my opinion. I know some of you disagree with this sentiment. There are people out there, I learned, I mean, they texted into our radio show today, that think that because Lane said, I'm not going to answer those questions, you should just never do it, and you should never push and never question or whatever. And I disagree completely. Lane's free to not answer whatever he doesn't want to answer. That's not my problem. You'll hear those answers coming up. It's your prerogative. If you don't feel like answering a question, that's fine. But the reporters in the room that pressed him have an obligation to their subscribers, their readers, their following, to ask what the people want to know. And the people, 99% of the people, wanted to hear him asked about the statement, the decision, all that stuff, distractions. That's what people want to hear, the overwhelming majority of fans. And if you're one of those that thinks that the coach should never be asked anything ever, that's fine. But you don't want, you don't want reporters doing what they're supposed to do. You just want them to run PR for the school. And I was really happy, even though unfortunately I'm 2.5 hours away. That's the one downside of where I work, is I'm 2.5 hours away. So I can't attend things like this. Kudos to the people in the room that asked the questions, even though he wasn't going to answer. Kudos to the people in the room for asking these questions and getting some non-answers. We'll start with this cut. He was asked about two more wins without a loss, and he will be the winningest coach by win percentage in Ole Miss history. And here is how he answered that question.
Of that, That's pretty neat. Again, that's just a lot of players playing really well and a lot of assistant coaches doing a really good job here. And so, you know, that's that's pretty historic numbers. And again, that's just appreciative of all the players and coaches that were a part of that. I've always said the best thing to do, got it from Pete Carroll, the most exciting thing to do professionally in life and in a lot of areas is to do it better than it's ever been done before. And anybody, you say anybody can do it 1 year. You know, can you do it over and over and over again? So that's a pretty neat stat, but that's credit to the players and assistant coaches. Any of that?
Sorry, that looped for a second. I'm going to get a little nitpicky here. Are you ready? Do you know who he didn't mention? You, the administration, Keith Carter, Glenn Boyce, did seemingly make reference to a comment that Glenn Boyce had on Richard Gross's show earlier today with the players and the assistant coaches. It kind of seemed like that was pointed, but even if it wasn't, you don't credit your administration for being behind you 100% to allow you and your team to win those games. You don't credit the fans for stepping up and giving the money and donating their money so you can go buy rosters to be competitive. Those, again, I'm nitpicking. I know that I'm nitpicking, but that those people didn't help you along the way. Found that interesting. He was asked about the statement released on Friday. Give a very short answer. Here is what that is.
Lane, Keith released a statement on Friday that saying that you, him, and Chancellor Boyce had had a meeting about your future. Are you able to elaborate on the nature of that meeting at all?
Yeah, like I said at the beginning, very fair question, but we're not answering anything that doesn't have to do with the game and the team and the season. But fair question.
So there you go. And then he was asked if there was anything that he would change about how he's handled the last couple of weeks. Good question. Interesting answer.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, obviously the game's the biggest thing, but for the last 2 weeks, it's been anything but the game. So for you, when you think about how the last 2 weeks has kind of played out, is there anything, if you could, you would change about how your role in the last 2 weeks at all? I mean, is there anything you'd go back and change if you could?
Well, I mean, you say that, but people said the same thing about the Florida game, you know, that there was all this distraction and how could the team focus, and I think they played pretty well, so I don't have anything more to say about that, but I think our team's been very focused since noise has been out there all the way back to the Oklahoma game and the tunnel before that and that morning and everything. What are they, 4-0? So it's a pretty good job by them.
You mentioned on Pat McAfee how you don't make decisions based on money. When you do make your decisions, what are the considerations for you then, especially when it comes to football decisions, right? Like, what are you thinking about?
Yeah, very fair question, but I'm not going into it because, like I said at the beginning, I'm going to keep this to this team and in this game.
Okay, so I'm obviously not able to hear those. Only you guys are able to hear this, so I hope I'm labeling them correctly. But when that one was asked in particular – that was to me a total lack of self-awareness in ways it's hard to describe. Because on one hand, yes, absolutely, the team has responded well and played well. But that's not the only factor involved in this. And that to me just, again, it underscores the thing that I've talked about so much and why I go so in on stuff like this. Because I think you guys deserve the most respect in return. I think fans deserve so much respect and they don't get it. This is at all levels, professional sports and college sports. The fans are not treated the way they need to be by and large. And that is another, that's why I talk about it so much because, well, you know, the players, like they won the game. So what are you talking about? As if nothing else has happened other than the games on Saturday between the time Florida came open and right now. It's just a demonstration of a lack of self-awareness. All right, here is when it gets a little testy.
And just a lot of, because of the ambiguity, I was just curious, when Key says expects a decision on Saturday, is that a decision that's been made or is that still in consideration? Like, people are just curious about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can just keep going. I'm not going to answer them. So that's three of them. You got another one?
No, I got one about William Echols, actually. He's your highest graded defender. And I also asked another one about Trinidad, too. Like, not just about that, but
Again, I will repeat myself. Good on Ben for Ben Garrett of the Ole Miss Spirit. Good on him for asking those questions. That is something me sitting here, I wanted to know. I wanted to see how he would respond to each and every one of those questions. Ben didn't get emotional, defended himself, but not combatively anyway. You know, that didn't try to clap back or whatever. I thought that the questions he asked were fair and what the overwhelming majority of fans want to know. And yes, everybody in the room was told ahead of time he's not going to answer questions. I still think that the people in that room had a responsibility to ask those, and I'm glad that he did and asked a second time and a third time as well. And if that made you uncomfortable as the soon-to-be highest-paid head coach in all of college football, then that makes you uncomfortable. So be it. And I understand why Lane would be frustrated getting continually asked the questions that he has already said that he won't answer. And in Lane's defense, that's the right PR strategy. Whoever told him to approach it that way was correct. Don't answer questions about that. You're only harming yourself even more. And so don't. And even though today didn't, I still don't think it went well for him. That would have been my advice to him. And so it's not like he did anything that I wouldn't have advised, but good on Ben. And you had a little moment where the coach snapped. The pressure is getting to him a little bit. The outside noise is getting to him a little bit, clearly. And that was interesting to see. All right, this is a very interesting answer here. He was asked about how important it was to him to finish the season out. And then he was asked about past experiences and leaning on them to make a decision here. The second half of this is especially interesting. Listen to this.
If that plays out and you guys are able to go on a run, how important is it to you to finish out the season with this team?
Very important. I've never thought of anything different than that.
And then how much, if at all, have you kind of reflected on your past and leaving or staying different places? And has that helped you kind of wade through this process this time around?
No, I mean, I don't know about all that. I've kind of, over the years of the changes that I've made, I've had a lot of time to reflect and on things that have happened. And I really feel like in age, I've figured out they all happened exactly how they were supposed to happen, when they were supposed to happen. I just didn't think it at the time. I thought they were disasters. And they're just all part of my story. And, you know, I spoke at my dad's funeral when he passed. And I always wondered why why we moved so much, you know, like, because it was hard on us as kids and everything. And I realized that was just all part of his story, and all the people that came to the funeral or wrote notes from all the different places, I realized that was God's plan for him to impact all those people and have all those relationships. And so I think all the stuff that happened how it was supposed to happen.
Coach, I know.
Interesting answer there. One part tells me that, like all of you have discussed and seen and talked about, that this sounds like somebody that, regardless of what he decides and whatever gets announced this week at some point, he expects to be able to coach this team through the playoff. And like I've said, and a lot of people have said, that is untenable. You cannot, in theory, all right, nothing's happened yet, allow LSU's coach to be in your facility for at a minimum of 3 weeks during signing day and so on. That's a thing that cannot be allowed to happen. Can't let it happen. So it's not going to happen. But that sounds like somebody that's trying to posture himself to make that happen regardless of decision. The second half, was that? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Tell me if I'm reading into this too much. That sounded like somebody justifying why moving around is not a bad thing. Which, you know, everybody makes choices in life. It's fine if you bounce around, but that's what that sounded like, was a, hey, moving around's not bad. Here's why. Last one. This is the thing that I actually liked the least about this press conference. He was asked about players and distractions and stuff, and his answer is one that is being talked about a lot on Twitter, and it's centered around how players these days don't really care about anything involving their coach and his future. Take a listen.
How have you seen kind of the team respond to all the noise surrounding you?
Yeah, I think they've done an amazing job. They had a great, they were here at 8:30 last night and back this morning for practice. And I've said it before, it's a different generation, guys. I know it's different than what we were in when players couldn't leave and players chose to go play for their home state a lot and all that. This is a different generation. They all can leave every year. A lot of that is financially based. And so they don't think the traditional way that years ago about their coach and what's going to go on with him next year. That's not how they think anymore. And that makes it a lot easier not to listen to noise, because as a fan, that noise is really loud because it's your team and it's your team for a long time. These kids don't think that way. Just is it's a product of the system.
That isn't true. It is for some. It's absolutely some. There are some players on these teams that are mercenaries. There are some players that are willing to bounce around from school to school to school to school and don't really care and don't connect with the place at all. There are players like that, 100%. Not all of them. Not anywhere close to all of them. I know, and it's been reported elsewhere, so if you don't believe me, believe somebody else. That's fine. I know for a fact that there, and I've told you guys this a dozen times too, there are players on this team that are frustrated at best with how this has been handled. Leadership on this team cares not only about the institution that they play for, they care about the stability of the institution that they play for, and this circus bothers them. Okay? So this idea that none of the players care at all about what their head coach is doing and what is being discussed around their program and how often they're having to see things about other schools and you leaving and not being completely focused despite the outside noise that you yourself are creating. You do have players that care, that love where they are, and that are frustrated by all of this. And to assert to the media and every single one of you watching that they don't care is garbage. It is a lie. It may not be a lie. It may just be simply he does not know what his players actually think about this, which is possible. He may be telling the truth as he knows it, but it is an undeniable fact. There are players on that team that hate this. There are players on that team that love Ole Miss, that will forever return to Ole Miss, that will, you know, all the cliche stuff, like what Brent Key said at Georgia Tech, cut me open, see what I bleed. There are guys on your team that feel that way about your institution. How many of you were absolutely in love with your school by the end of your first semester as a freshman? You don't have to go to a school for 5 years to love it. That's a garbage statement. It is either a lie or it is another indicator of somebody that has no idea how his team actually feels. There are some that are mercenaries. There are some. There are also some that really care. And I know, and again, I know, I'm not guessing. I know that there are some number of players that felt insulted by that statement today. So there you go. We'll read some of your comments for about 10 minutes here, and then I got to go here on this Monday night. Appreciate you guys being here, and I appreciate Advantage Business Systems. ABSMS.com is the website. They're located in Jackson, but they will service you anywhere. Anywhere in Mississippi if you are in the market for office technology. Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com, 601-362-9192. Any office technology that you need for your Mississippi business, check them out at absms.com and then tell them I sent you. You'll get an assessment on me. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every day with their online banking platform, the local loan servicing and decision making. They will treat you like a priority because it's in the name at Priority One Bank. Bank with me there at Priority One Bank. First comment, hope I'm wrong, but the tweets from the players today felt like propaganda for Lane to coach the playoffs, even if he takes another job. Like with a lot of stuff lately, that felt scripted. And it certainly sounds like other people in the building view that as an attempt to curry favor and not anything organic or authentic. Especially when one of the players leaves the quotation marks around what he's supposed to post on Twitter and leaves it up for a while before it gets caught and they delete it and fix it. That, just like the McAfee interview, felt fake, inauthentic. Yeah, maybe it was, but it certainly didn't look like it. And again, the quotations, player forgetting to delete the quotations, and also the dash is a tell for AI as well, by the way. Felt forced. Why is there excitement about John Sumrall coming here? Tulane averages going for it 1.5 times per game on fourth down, 110th nationally. That's a huge drop in aggressiveness. His offense seems to leave a lot to be desired. Well, because he wins. That's why. He will have been a head coach for 4 years, 2 years at Troy, 2 years at Tulane, and will, if they beat 1-10 Charlotte on Saturday, go to the conference championship game every year. He will be a relentless, would be a relentless recruiter and program builder. He will engage with the community and grassroots fundraise and things like that. His teams are tough as hell. He's just a great ball coach. And even if they're not aggressive on fourth down, it doesn't mean that he's not a great ball coach. Say they were pushed quotes, key ones even. Yeah, saw that, the quotation marks. Rumor is they're wearing Realtree helmets this weekend. Don't hate it. I have not heard that. That's interesting. I thought they only were able to do that once. I appreciate you, Matt. Yeah, it's losing a pet's not easy, especially one that, you know, has been with me through a lot of life changes. He's been my right-hand man for a long time, and he was just such a gentle dog. I miss him. I mean, you guys saw him every night laying right there, and now he's not there, and I'm not handling this well at all. I miss my buddy a lot. So everything about his demeanor and that presser tells you he has 2 feet out the door, should be gone after the game. In his defense, every press conference he is low-key and looks and seems miserable. In all of them. He gone, no doubt. Let's go get Sumrall. I don't know if he's gone for sure, but I do think a coaching search would move very quickly. I think/know they've been working just in case. So, really think someone, maybe it was Carter or Boyce, or maybe even Jimmy Sexton, has told him to cut out the social media antics. 100% he has been told to stop. 100%. Absolutely 100%. Why is Lane like this? That's the $98 million question. Silver lining will not only be the Florida meltdown, but also the Auburn fan meltdown, because they think they have Sumrall locked down. That would be interesting. Rippey was spot on. He was. That was as pointed of an accurate description and summary of how this has gone. And I like that he takes the angle that I take, where I think it's about you guys the most. And he really wrote from the perspective of, this is what these actions are to you and how they're directed to you. I really liked that. A lot. Never thought I would say it, but ready for him to leave. If they win the game and he commits to Ole Miss and then locks in, and you know they win a playoff game and all that, it'll take care of itself. I do think the relationship is now going to be a lot more transactional. I mean, like I've told you guys before, you as a fan base have embraced the person, and I don't think that'll be the case anymore. I think losses, you'll take, not take, you will react more harshly, and you should, and your patience for all the BS is gone. I do not think he will sabotage the game. I really don't. Friday postgame will be interesting, especially if Pete Nakos is right and he thinks that something might leak before then. Oof. Let's say they win the game, not expecting a concrete announcement, staying or leaving on Saturday, despite what Keith Carter said. How would they really force one, and what if Texas wins? Well, Ole Miss needs Texas to win and Auburn to win. They need both to make the SEC championship. How can they really force one? I do believe there is some kind of avenue that they can take regarding the playoff. I do think that they can. And some people will criticize that, but those some people aren't thinking clearly. It is a program that not only is a rival, but you compete with them for players and everything, right? You can't let their new coach exist in your facility for 3 weeks plus. Cannot do it. You absolutely cannot do it. So something is going to come to a head here. Ole Miss, I think, has done a really good job of, like I told you guys the other day, providing him the rope. Right now, he's the one that looks bad in all this. Ole Miss does not. Ole Miss, all they're doing is offering him more and more and more and so much money, and look at all this winning and look at all the support and blah, blah, blah. That's the narrative right now. They're doing a good job of kind of allowing him to just talk his way into a deeper hole. That might shift a little bit if you don't let him coach the playoff, but you can. And what you do is, if you're Keith Carter, you do a full media blitz. I mean, we love Coach. Gosh, we love Coach. He brought us so many memories that we'll never forget. And we wanted him to be here. We gave him an offer that would have made him the highest paid coach in the country. That's what we wanted to make him, because we loved him here so much. But he chose a different path, and we have to move forward as an institution after he made a choice that we wish he was with us, what we do. But he made that choice, and we have to move forward. And you do that media blitz. You go on Josh Pate's show and all that stuff. You do everything, all of them. How did he not know the winning percentage? You've known that since the Florida game. I would be surprised if he didn't. If Ole Miss wins, Friday's postgame will be hostile. If Ole Miss loses, we'll be an inferno. No kidding. Press conference was super weird. The players' tweets are wild. This is all just weird. Weird is a great way to describe it. Fake is what I'm leaning. Inauthentic is how all of this feels. Feel like the committee may drop Ole Miss this week. 7 looks possible, and then lower in the final rankings feels like a possibility, according to ESPN talking heads. I think I know where that talking point came from, though. I think I know where it came from. Remember that stadium size is a blue blood fact, even though you're down 31-0 at halftime to Tennessee. Well, hey, don't forget, by the way, you guys, terrible fan base, horrible for not filling up every seat for the Citadel game. Horrible. It's awful that you guys couldn't do that. Meanwhile, over in Tuscaloosa, there were tens of thousands of empty seats for their game Saturday, and tens of thousands of empty seats for Georgia's game on Saturday. But no, you guys are unique in that you don't fill up a stadium for a November FCS game or whatever. That's the kind of stuff that bothers me so bad, because it's not true. And all you guys have done is stepped up and supported in ways that you never have before. And all you've gotten back is crap like that. And so it's become a talking point nationally that Ole Miss fans don't support their program. You notice that, right? That is a thing that people say because your coach has said it, even though he's wrong. But he says it, and so people just believe it. Look at Tuscaloosa and Athens this weekend. He thought the team played well against Florida, and that's a good one. They really didn't. Tyler, I'm not – that is not a place that I am comfortable going. They won't drop them out unless they lose and lose Kiffin. I agree with that. If they go to 10-2 and then he leaves, I think that they will leave you out of the playoff. But if they win their 11th game, doesn't matter what he does. Definitely making it, definitely hosting, in my opinion. People were saying, yeah, the quote about the Florida game. I mean, look, they've won games. You're right. They've won games. But I don't know if that was a pretty performance against Florida in hindsight. But it's not just about the Saturdays. It's about everything else involved. And it's been an issue. It's clear Lane does not have control of the narrative, and it's eating at him. I think that would be that's the safest bet on earth, is that he's surprised, or whatever expression you want to use, that the public is so against him with how this has gone down. I think that's obvious based on the McAfee interview, demeanor after the Florida game, demeanor today, answers, lack thereof. It certainly sounds like somebody is very surprised that, yeah, it's time to realize. Thank you, Wicked Brew, for the super chat, man. Really, really appreciate you. It's time to realize college football is just AAA baseball now. We're rooting for the jerseys and colors and logos, your performance or loyalty anywhere in the org anymore. I hear you. I do disagree, though. There are players that are loyal to you and care a lot about you. There are. Trust me, there are. The way Lane treated Ben and unfollowed you is very telling. It's eating at him. It is. The criticism is bothering him. There's a little bit of Hugh Freeze in that. If he thinks Ben Garrett is rough, wait till he loses a game at LSU or loses five games at LSU like they did in 22. We'll say for the Florida game, the Gators did play hard and got early momentum. They did the same versus Georgia, but quit the other two games. There's a lot of problems there. National media will be there Friday, so it's coming in the postgame. Absolutely. The way he handles these questions aren't dissimilar to the way Brian Kelly handled questions at LSU and got absolutely dragged for it. Yeah. Convinced it can get messy if they win the Egg Bowl. I actually think losing the game would be a cleaner break, albeit a disaster. There's something to that because, again, it certainly seems like he's going to want to have his cake and eat it too. Ole Miss is not going to let that happen. They can't let that happen. Cannot let that happen. Said it before, you've liked Lane and think a lot of the stuff he's done and said is genuine, especially with his family and personal stuff. This is all self-inflicted and ego-driven. Yep. If the reports are true and Sumrall is very gettable, I can't help but wonder if that wouldn't be best, even if we keep Lane this year. The toxicity is back as early as next year again. Absolutely. Just wait till Texas and Florida State come open. Or if they lose these close games that they've been winning, what happens if they flip on their head? This is just awful. Really like Lane, but this isn't sustainable. I agree. Glenn Boyce was really good this morning with your boy Richard Cross. He was, actually. There was a pointed answer about assistants and players that stood out to me. That soundbite right there, just odd. He and his dad just aren't in the same boat when it comes to the situation, if that's what he's insinuating. That was an odd one. Felt like an admission of leaving. So I am behind on comments. You got that was right after. Both of these were right after that bite there. Sounds like Boyce isn't putting up with any BS. Definitely not. Same old Lane. He's possibly about to go 11-1 in a rebuilding year. Should be our time to shine. But he's robbing us of the moment and sucks as a lifelong fan. Agree. All caps. Buddy, you created this distraction. Yep. completely disagree with the stuff Lane said about player distraction. That's so disingenuous. It is. It really is. Fact, players are upset. Some of them are. Not sure why, but a lot of Ole Miss fans around me seem to think the players will rally for each other, and this game isn't close. There's a chance that the game is close. State has played a lot of close games this year. They have a pair of receivers that can open up a defense. I do think that they're going to end up playing well, or at least hard anyway. I'm so sick of this. Good riddance. Heard there's some momentum about Trinidad getting another year. Wouldn't be surprised if he could win an appeal. Yeah, I've heard that too, and I didn't cut it, but Lane in the presser today gave an odd answer about that. Basically, like, if he wants another year of college ball, I would support him. Wasn't like, if he wants another year here, or that would be great to have him back here. Just another missed opportunity to promote where you are. Instead, it was, if he wants another year of college football, I support him. It was odd. Just national media is going to eat him alive when he lands in Baton Rouge if he leaves a playoff team. That if it's true, then how come people who transfer to Ole Miss typically don't transfer back out? Because it's a good place to play football. Sum the entire thing up, Lane Kiffin thinks he's too good to be the Ole Miss coach. Bottom line, he sees himself as a coach at a bigger school. How much bigger can you get than where you are, especially what's being offered? It's an interesting question. I don't know what would happen with Trinidad. I don't know if he'd be a guaranteed follow Lane wherever. I don't know. Look, he's a great story. He's a lot of fun, really good player. If Lane were to leave, LSU would be in the market for any quarterback in the country that they wanted to go after. Would he be the number one quarterback that they would want? I don't know that answer. I don't know. Yeah, looks like a man who wasn't expecting the negative energy. Parham's tidbit today from what he heard from the coaches and staffer sucks, man. They're caught in the middle. Yeah, that's a really funny thing that he put out there. Just overheard a conversation on accident, basically. And yeah, the staff is in the dark as well. Just hope State is dysfunctional with their own drama and talent wins out. But man, this game is terrifying with all the noise. State has quarterback drama. That's about it, really. Would you trust Lane to coach the Egg Bowl? I don't know, but they don't have a choice. They don't. I don't think anyway. Not yet. I think playoff becomes a different animal because then you would have some kind of agreement with somebody else if you choose not to stay. Right now, that agreement doesn't exist, or at least it didn't on Friday. Thank you, AC Dear. Appreciate you. Yeah, Ben was excellent today. Excellent today. And you guys know this. I go on, not with Neil and Chase, but I go on their network with Rippy. I would consider him a friend. I think he would me as well. So, of course, I support and appreciate those guys as well. I compliment them often because I think they deserve it. So I appreciate you. Appreciate that, Justin. Thank you, man. He'd always be known for the guy that walked out on a playoff team. What could have been? Yeah. State is in their own world of issues with the quarterback position, injuries, and a lack of defensive pulse. Yeah, Ole Miss should straight up – Kiwan should get 30 carries in this game if Ole Miss is doing it correctly. Drew, thank you. Thank you, man. Really appreciate you for the super chat. Really appreciate you. You don't think Lacey's going anywhere? I don't know. That wouldn't surprise me, but I don't know. Convinced John Summerall is the best hire of any available candidates. He would be my number one, I think. He'd be my number one. I think the media has added a lot of fuel to the fire, especially the national media. I understand where you're coming from, but one person could have ended this a long time ago. The media doesn't create or doesn't force his actions. What he does is exclusively his fault. But I know what you mean. You know, the Kiffin playoff stuff is taking center stage, but I don't think most people are talking about how losing this game gives State a lifeline. Yes, it absolutely does. I mean, you could really make things uncomfortable, borderline untenable there. But you lose this game, it won't flip on its head, but it does change it a little bit. Worry about the timeline with getting Summerall. Here's the thing, though, Hudson. He's got a conference championship game to coach in next weekend. So it buys you a little bit of time, or at least it should. Now, I know you'd miss signing day. So I don't know. I don't know how that would work. But, I mean, if you're waiting into Saturday anyway, I don't know. But him having to coach in a conference championship game does help. I think. Travis, really appreciate you with your super chat, man. Thank you. Tell Kiffin to hit the road and get another coach. No reason to keep playing these games every year. Thank you for that, Travis. Really appreciate you. You don't see him following the Saturday deadline? The decision will get out by then whether or not he follows it. Whoever is getting him will have the answer by Friday, I think. I don't know, I think, though. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Your guess is the contract has different terms between the regular season and postseason. I do think that there's something that they can – that they'll be able to do come postseason. Spread has fallen from 10.5 to 6.5. It would be 12 if there was no drama. Why does Ole Miss traditionally hate their traditional color schemes? Powder in the Egg Bowl does not feel right because the head coach loves powder. The players like it too, though. And also because there's going to be so many Ole Miss fans there, they're trying to do the wear powder thing to shine a spotlight on how many are there. It's intentional. The powder blue stands out against the maroon. So that's the intent behind that, is to demonstrate how many Ole Miss fans are there. Pate has been pro Ole Miss in this Kiffin drama. Everybody has, really. I mean, that's why so far Ole Miss has handled this great. I know people have been critical. I didn't like the statement at all. But Ole Miss handling this the way they have, everybody is on their side right now. Everybody. Jimmy Sexton, CAA, is that where the talking point came from? I think it came from Kiffin himself, but yeah. Serious question, why doesn't he love us, giving him everything he's ever asked for? Don't expect coaches to love you the way you love you, if that makes sense. But it's a personality defect is what it is. When you can't see what you've been provided, that's what that is. Tom Mars is right. LSU has all this promising money, but you have to have a way to get to the players. You can't just say, hey, we have 20 for NIL with the NIL Go thing. Has to be legit. Well, does it, though? Because I think you can work around it pretty easily. That thing won't stand up to legal challenges. I don't think, anyway. Lane having to pick between Trinidad and Austin Simmons again. I don't think it would be between the two of them, but... No, I can't believe we're talking about this, considering that Ole Miss is favored to go 11-1 right now. I can't believe it. I truly can't wrap my mind around getting to this point. For the first time in your career, coaching in a playoff game and allowing your team to get infiltrated from every angle with this stuff. I can't wrap my mind around it. You'd go after Lincoln Riley? Oh, gosh, I don't know. I would have to get really talked in to that one. I'd have to get really talked into that one. What's my feel on the game today? I think that Mississippi State is lacking in too many important areas in this game. That's my issue. They can't pass protect. They can't stop the run. It's tough to overcome, even against a team that's dealing with all this crap. It's my Heisman top three, Jeremiah Love, Mendoza, and Pavia. Mendoza would be my one. Probably Love, too. And I would throw Pavia in there. I don't know if he'd be my three. He's been awesome lately, though. But I do think Mendoza would be my number one. What would be my opinion? If it's Summerall's the next head coach, reckon would he keep Pete around? I do think that he would. I don't know that. I think that. In this cycle, considering the volume of jobs open, if that were to be where Ole Miss would end up should Kiffin leave, that would be a grand slam home run. I think that you guys would absolutely love his style. And also, I mean, his teams win. That's the most important thing. His teams win, and I think he would win. Not only has he done it for 4 years as an actual head coach, but he's also coached in the SEC. He gets it, right? He's been at your place, albeit for a year, but he understands the dynamics of your institution, and I think you would love his style. He would operate very similarly to Chris Beard in the way that they engage people. Really do. So, anyway, I got to go, guys. Went a little longer than I was expecting again on Wednesday. So we will go live on Wednesday to talk about the actual football game, as long as nothing else comes up between now and then. We will talk about the football game on Wednesday, I promise. I will see you then Wednesday at 9, and then we'll get back to regular schedule. We'll do post-game Friday, and then back Sunday, and back to normal. I'll see you guys on Wednesday talking football. I'll see you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.